rescued us so we could stand and sing, I am a child of God. You split the sea. Let's sing that again. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing, I am a child of God. Can we sing that out with an anthem here for who we are in Jesus and our gratitude to our great God, who we love so much with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're amazing, God. You split the sea. Let's sing it out. This is who you are, God. This is the truth. This is the truth.
You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
The anthem of the ages never changes. Let me read as we move on here, move continuously through that dry land. In Psalm 106, verse 6 reads, we have sinned like our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, and he led them through the deeps, as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. Father, this morning we believe your words, and we sing out praise to you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you in all areas and believe all things and be led by your Spirit as you led your children through the dry land of the Red Sea. It was your Spirit that parted that, Father. The Spirit of you, O God, Holy Spirit, and by your hand, O God, that parted the Red Sea for the deliverance of the ones that you love the most. And we thank you, Lord, that we can cheer tonight, the night that we're going to watch the Super Bowl, as many will cheer for the winning team to come. But we know, Lord God, that we're on the winning team. And we thank you, Lord God, that you show us that everything that you've done for us is for now, for today, and for the future. And we thank you, Lord, that we won't forget that you still come against our adversaries and move them out of the way because you love us so much, and that we can stand and sing and praise your name. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. We praise you, and we do give a shout of thanksgiving and worship and praise because you are amazing, amazing God. Amazing God. Amazing God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just really believe this morning God is going to bring us into a time of connection with him in remembrance, where he says, put me in remembrance of my word. As we sing out God's word and as we sing out to him, to you, O God, we know that this pleases you and that you act and that you move at this pure worship as this morning moves your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you are not a God who is slow to speak and move. You move in your timeliness, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you in all areas. No matter what we see, we can trust you. We can trust you, God. Trust you in everything, even the areas we don't understand. As we embrace the process that you have us in, we will be able to say, I am a child of God, and I will see your wondrous works move on my behalf. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just also want to read from Psalm 139, which was sung out today as well. I just want to read this passage is very familiar, especially fitting with a mommy singing out the meaning behind this, who's having her second child soon. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God? And do not I loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, or fearful thoughts, or hurtful thoughts, depending on the version. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Such a reminder that the Lord abhors and hates sinfulness. And I think we all cringe when we hear that word, hate. When we sing a song like this, we cheer and we, woohoo! But the Lord is just reminding us, I love you so much. I don't want anything to hurt you. Don't want anything to come against you. Don't want anything to interrupt my communion, my connection with you. Amen. We had an amazing time on Friday night, all night watch of the Lord. Thank you for those who were here. Thank you for those who were able to participate here or at home. Thank you for that. Thank you, sweetie, for water. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we just praise you for everything that you're doing. We're watching your hand move all around us, aren't we? Are we seeing things change in our midst? Are we seeing that? Do we see that God is moving on our behalf? If we can see, then we can receive even more. And sometimes we don't even see, and he just knocks us over the head, you know, and says, watch this one. Something happened in our family yesterday, and my brother Mike, you know, was saying, we were talking, and you know, we were just talking about the windows of heaven being opened up and how God just presented a package, a blessing. It's like, whoop, here, take this. Wow. And we were just so stunned. And yesterday I just actually was completely overwhelmed at the goodness and the graciousness of God. And I just want to give thanks to him for that. And I believe that as we're in that state of continual thanks and praise, as I just read in the scripture, oh my, the Lord is just going to tender us to his heart in such a magnificent way. We're just going to feel that closeness grow. How many of us want to feel closer to the Lord? How many times do we say, I just don't know how to do this. I don't know what it means. I don't know how to. I don't know how to. I don't know how to. But the end result is in us, our heart, I just want to feel closer to you, God. I just want to know you more. I want to be hungrier for you. I want to experience your faithfulness, your goodness. I want to be your kid. I want to be like a kid in the family shop of candy, you know. But I want to do that. And last week we had such an amazing message. Michelle, I don't know if she's here today or not. Are you here? Hi, Michelle. It's kind of wild, crazy message. I've been thinking about it all week. And I haven't had a chance to re-listen to it. I thought I would do that at least 10 times, but I didn't even have one moment to do that. But I really encourage you to do that if you weren't here. And if you were here, do it again. But I believe it's up in audio and video so that you can watch the intensity of the message and receive the impartation as well. How do you watch intensity? We're going to talk about that this morning. There was a really powerful word and message that God actually gave, and I just am so grateful to everything that he's been saying and doing in this hour, and that this is going to be a time when God's going to take us into the next place of remembrance. Hi, sweetie. Of what he's done for us, and how he's going to take us forward. It's just going to be great. How many of you are ready for that? How many of you have been chewing on the message last week? Or just two or three or four or 10 or 20? It's not about the message giver. It's about the message. And the message giver was giving it. And I've been thinking a lot about in the last couple of days or weeks rather, and months actually, how God has been building. And I was thinking about actually the Israelites going to be parting through the Red Sea, which they didn't know God was going to do, but they hung on, they waited, they watched, they hoped, they said, okay, God, is this going to happen? Is something going to happen? Good. And they went through all the grumblings and complainings and such, and then they were totally shocked and totally surprised that their lives were changed. And then they continued the process of forgetting and all of that. And one of my scriptures this morning that God had given me was, I just read it to you in Psalm 106. I said, oh my gosh. So to sing out that anthem at the end, it's like, okay, God, what are you building? What are you doing? We're anticipating more than we can even ask or imagine, aren't we? And I think that when the Lord prepares us to be able to release his message as the messengers, however that would be, standing there and smiling, standing there holding a notebook, standing there and doing nothing but just being there, coming together as a team, getting in a huddle if you're on a football team, which we're going to see tonight, anybody who is going to watch that. But we're going to be watching possibly people who are going to be crazy, absolutely insanely crazy, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for something amazing to happen, and they all have their thought, they all have their plan, and the Lord knows the outcome of this big game. And some people might say, I really don't care about that. But the point is, whether you care about it or not, there is a big game, it's going to be played tonight, and it has the attention of the world. And people are watching, and they're watching, and they're thinking, and they're talking, and it's a camaraderie for most people who at least know that it's happening. Like, yeah, I guess I heard it's tonight, or somewhere in January, to the point of that, or, oh my gosh, I can't wait, there's 10 hours down, you know, oh my gosh, there's 9 hours to go, and this is what I think is going to happen, and these are the people that are going to do this, and it's going to be phenomenal, I can't wait, oh my gosh. I hope they finish fast here so I can get to where I'm supposed to go and do. You know, there's real extremes that way, and that's okay, and the Lord knows all of us so individually, and as we just gently kind of, you know, don't all exit here, but if you want to release your child to kingdom land, that's great. But we're just going to continue to talk about what's on God's heart this morning and see what he wants to do to take us to a place that is so intensely intense that I think God was wanting to shake us up a little bit. All right, let's take a look at the word intense. Oh my goodness, we can put it up. Yeah, we'll show it at the end. Intensity is just a word that he dropped in my spirit. I think that's kind of intense and, you know, unique kind of way. But he dropped this word in my spirit. I was just talking to the Lord and I said, give me a word. So I heard intensity. It's like, all right, give me a word. Yeah, I'll hear the word intensity. Well, what are you trying to say with the word intensity? And then he started to build some thoughts and they were really quickly coming together. And, you know, my personal life has been extremely intense. Particularly for the last 2 years, nonstop. That sounds like a long time, but it's true. It's been very extreme, very intense. And it's like, whoa, that sounds like horrible. No, intensity is a good thing from the Lord as we embrace the process, as we listen to what he's really saying and doing, trying to hear the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of going, you know, snowboarding or going down the hill, ski hill, going, all right, there's another mountain, woohoo! How are we going to get over that? What are we going to do? We can't go through it. We've got to go your way because that's going to bring the best results. And I'm going to learn the most and I'll change the most and I'll become more like you. You know, that's the process that we're all in, which I don't know about you, but that seems to me to be quite intense. Anybody agree? Can you say intensity is a word that you can relate to? Let's take a look at a proper definition of it. Let's take a look at what we have for intensity. All right. There's two things I think that I had sent, two different definitions. But intensity, all right, the quality or condition of being intense. That's great. That's all right, good. Now I got it. I don't know what that means. Great energy, strength, concentration, vehemence, as of activity, thought, or feeling. He went on the job with great intensity. Anybody relate to this? Anybody show up for their first job or their new job or just think of a job that you're doing of some kind and you just kind of bebopped in and went, hey, let's just chill here and it'll be cool. Wouldn't there be some kind of apprehension, preparation? How am I supposed to do this? I'm going into a new and different situation. Can anybody relate to that? Whatever it is, God is saying, all right, I'm all about helping you see what the next step is. And I'm never going to put you or ask you to do something that you're totally easily comfortable with. Why? What glory does God get from that? It's like, this is, I mean, come on. He wants to show up through us. He wants us to learn how to depend on him. He wants us to be able to see him as he really is. All those things. So that we can sing out with all fervor, I am a child of God. So he's always moving and shaping and forming and chiseling and just trying to help rearrange us in a way that will reflect more of him. So we have that assurance that he's rescued us out of fear and into faith and freedom. It's like, okay, that sounds spiritual. It is. Because fear is a real big thing. A real, real big thing that's hidden, that's masked, that can look a certain way. It can come out, actually, with great intensity, you know, in the way that fear loves to operate through people. But as we learn God's kingdom ways, we learn to recognize that in others, in ourselves, whoa, and say, okay, intensity's cool, fear is not. So, in other words, kingdom intensity is good. Fear is not. There's no good in fear in any way, shape, or form. I met a man last night. I was in this mini hospital where my mom currently is. She's been going through a lot of medical issues and such very severely for the last 2 months. But praise God, we're believing on Monday or Tuesday, depending on the snow, that by ambulance, she's coming home. She's being released for what God wants to do next, what we're very excited about, and there's a whole story behind that. And some of you have a little bit of understanding and knowledge of that. But that this whole time with my mom being in the hospital and all the things that that has been for me personally has just increased the level of intensity in my life, which has increased the level of my desire for continued dependence on God. How do you do this? How do you feel? How do you help, Lord, help? I want to depend on you so that I'm becoming more like you and I'm able to really express and show love. That's what I want to do. I want to be this basket of love, and it will be with great intensity. I need to understand that more. And I believe that's a message for us. How intense are you, and what does intensity look like in your life for our God? And then how does that play out? So let's take a look at the rest of the definition, if you could, up there. If you can put that back, please. It's almost there. Thank you. Don't think I read the whole thing, did I? The first one? Yeah, it's okay. And then we'll put that one up too. Thank you. We're almost there. I was having fun with this. Great energy, strength, concentration, vehemence. Okay, great energy, strength, concentration. All right, so those were words for me, and I have to just show you this. It's in my purse. I've been carrying this around for almost 2 months, honestly, wherever I am. I have this little green book because I have been dropped into the medical world in a way that has become quite intense. And especially with the situation in my family life with my dad not being able to do that to the degree that needed to be done, he said, okay, here's your new hat. Oh, wow. Not that there hasn't been medical intensity in my family, which there has over the last number of years with my dad, with my mom especially. I'm talking in that circle right now and some other things with extended family as well, but particularly for the elderly who haven't been able to navigate, you know, as well on their own and definitely need a lot of help and assistance. So I've been carrying this little green, not black, book with me. It fits in my purse, and I've got my little pen, and I open it up, and I try not to be so obvious, like, all right, what's your CO2 levels? You know, what does that mean? What's CO2? I know it. Wait, that's high school. So I just kind of am going back to the basics for understanding basic things in medicine and then growing from that. And actually, because of the Lord helping me, when I wake up and go, I don't know what I'm doing, I have become much more knowledgeable. And I actually can't believe I'm saying some of the things I'm saying. It's like he threw me into a realm that I really didn't know too much about because I don't like blood. You know, I like my blood, but I don't like to see blood. And I'm just, you know, he didn't lead me to go into nursing and medicine. However, I've been so intrigued. I oftentimes thought in the last couple of months, Well, maybe you are. No, wait a minute. You're at frontline. Because I've really enjoyed the connection with, honestly, with the medical people that I've been with. And I've have a lot of new friends, new relationships, in addition to seeing my mom increase and go through the ups and downs. And that's also involving nursing care. This is all new to me in the last 2 months. And so it's just been a real adventure for me. But I was, as I'm looking at this definition, I thought, oh my gosh, concentration, you've got it. Vehemence, yes, great energy. He's given me incredible strength and energy that has pretty much my life was taken out of what I normally do, which is fairly intense anyway, and moved into this, but this hasn't changed. It's like, I don't know how to do life, God. He goes, good, that's a great place for you to be. Watch what I will do amidst all kinds of other things in my world and life. A high or extreme degree as of cold or heat. And I thought, oh my gosh, I so am not a cold-oriented person. I hear I live in Ohio and everything. You know, I wear, people know when I go to Mozambique, I have 7 layers at night in the tent, you know, to make sure that I'm warm enough. I mean, it's probably only, what, 40 degrees or something? But, you know, when you're, it's summertime, it's supposed to be, but it's outside, and I don't really have this Michigan mentality like my husband, who's like, what, it's short sleeves, I can go shovel the snow. It's no problem. So I'm a little very different that way. But as far as hot, I just really jumped into this one, and I thought, okay, God, I love the heat. I love the heat overseas. I love the heat in the summer here. I'm all about that. You know, I'm really a southern person that way. But I looked at that in terms of how the Lord looks at my heart of fervor, my heart of passion, my heart of intensity for Him. What is He saying? I can be intensely cold or intensely hot for things of the Spirit, for things in the kingdom, for things that rely or circulate around God Himself. And it's like, that's really true, God. I want You to heat me up. I don't want to grow cold. We heard some verses last week that You spew the in-between out of Your mouth. I mean, you know, the cold are already out of Your mouth. They're not there, okay? And You want to draw them in. But that in-between stuff is a stench to You. You spew people out of Your mouth that way. It's like, whoa, that's really strong. And those words in Revelation about that church in Laodicea, those are for us today. And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't go along with I am a child of God. So we have to see that the nature of the Father is to say, look, okay, I've rescued you out of fear, but you have to act like you know what that is, and you have to see what that is, and I will show you what that is. In other words, positionally, that's what I did. But let's walk out, let's actually walk out our salvation. Let's walk out the fullness of it. Okay, coach, we can do that. Can you imagine the team players today, what they're thinking about? Wonder what they're doing right now before the Super Bowl. Wonder how they're feeling. Wonder what's going on. Are they nervous? Well, I don't know. Are they listening? Are they probably soaking in God's presence? Maybe, maybe not. Don't know the people, really. But we do know that there's something big is coming, and they want to win this with everything inside. So when we talk about sports, when we talk about a team approach, I think everybody perks up because we've had some taste of athletics in our life, hopefully a good one. If there was a bad one where you were the kid who was the last one in gym class, you're looking at it right here, then I didn't have a real good experience with that growing up. But at the same time, you know, I was able to overcome that and not walk in fear as a result of that. Just saying. And then be able to understand more about what fear can look like as a result of past experiences. And realize, wow, you rescued me out of those. You rescued me out of things that happened to me 10, 20, 30 years ago and more. You rescued me out of that. That's amazing. But You want me to live like that. You want me to make my decisions out of the rescue, not out of the fact that I had things happen, but out of the rescue from that. It's like, whoa, bingo, how do we do that? Become hot for Jesus. How do we do that? Recognize we're a child of God. How do we do that? And then here we are gathering, worshiping God, saying, all right, God, I want to think right, act right, be right. I want to do right. I want to be everything right because You've given me Your righteousness. And then we get up in the morning, something happens, and then we turn around and maybe snap at somebody. Rah, why did I do that? Okay, that's just my passion. No, it's probably your fear. You can't blame reaction, okay, on anything other than stuff that is still there, period. And when we make excuses, well, they really meant, she really meant, he really meant, I really meant, which, believe me, I've done plenty of, okay? The Lord says, excuse me, did you forget that passage you just read about the Red Sea? Did you forget how big I am? Did you forget how big I was to you? Did you forget? Did you not remember? In other words, did you allow the fears to rise? Did you not recognize that fear was intensely trying to take you away since I took that away at the cross? And you're not acting like that, living like that? Will you come face to face with the reality of that so that you can boldly sing out what we sang out this morning, but then it actually becomes reality when we go home after church or tomorrow or whatever it is, or our job tomorrow, whatever it would be? It's like, oh. So for me personally, as a human here, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, if there's fear around me, let me recognize it. Because intensity does not impress you, really, unless it's your version of intensity. Jesus, I would say, is quite intense. Mm-hmm. And his thoughts were intense, his ways were intense, his love was and is intense. Shedding his blood was and is intense, right? And the Lord uses adversity to refine us, like silver and gold. But if we miss a portion of that process because we will not or do not or cannot see what's really going on. Can you imagine? Well, let me finish that sentence. If we cannot or will not see what's really going on, we will miss the refining, the gold that's coming as a result of the refining process, because we're in a process in our life. And the Lord has different seasons where different things come and go, and he's working on those things in us. And he's saying, I want you to see what I'm doing. If we don't see what he's doing, but we feel that we know what is happening to us, somehow there's a disconnect. We need to see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. What happened yesterday for me personally, when I got this call that all came together about some help that's going to be given for my mom and dad and different things that have been going on, I literally dropped to the floor crying so intensely. I mean, I was sobbing on the floor. Pastor Bill, you know, comes downstairs like, are you okay? Yes! He says, you have the same intensity for deep personal anguish and pain, emotional pain, especially when something hurts or somebody is seemingly making a decision that's just like, God's saying this to you, MP, but this is happening. You're going, ah! And it hurts. It's like, no! He says, you have the same, ah! I said, I am so in love with Jesus. I can't believe he did this for me, for mom, for dad, for you. I was really like that yesterday. And my dad, my husband looks at the intense wife that he has. And it's like, okay. Well, someone might say, well, I don't appreciate your intensity. I'm sorry. However, when we are intensely, you know, completely desirous to be sold out, to be wrecked by what do you say? What do you say? What are you saying about this? Not what do I feel? Not what is my opinion? Not what is my interpretation? No, no, no. What do you say? Because what you say matters, not anything else. And it might look like your whole world is haywire or going out of control or whatever it is. But whatever he really says about it is all that matters. And then the fire increases and the heat increases in intensity. Last night when I went to see my mom in the hospital, long-term acute care, LTAC, love this place. It's a mini hospital within a hospital. I've learned so much. I've made so many friends, doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, physical therapists, nurses' aides, you name it, and people who are cleaning the floors. Doesn't matter. We have just had so much intensity with them because I saw what God's doing. And he put me there, knowing, take your little green book and watch what I do. And then when you listen to somebody, and it might be a nobody, somebody who has a, you know, green scrubs on, and maybe they're feeling like a nobody, or maybe red scrubs, or blue scrubs. One lady actually told me she felt like a Smurf. She's dressing up in her blue outfit, and she felt like a Smurf, and we just laughed so hard. But there was this bonding because of her little joking nature and the closeness that we had developed over these 3 weeks that mom was in LTAC. It's going to be 3 weeks. But no matter what, if the person that you're connecting with is really connecting with the Spirit of God, and you are willing to really say, God, what is really going on here? He's going to tell you. And you might feel like an absolute, oh, incompetent person, because this person knows more, does more, is older, is maybe even mentored or told you something. It might be a parent, it might be a loved one, it might be a friend. You know, it's like, ha, but something inside is going, no, that's not right. Something inside, well, that's something inside, spoke to Moses. That's something inside, parted the Red Sea. That's something inside is the resurrection power of Jesus. That's something inside will propel you into the greatness that God has. That's something inside is the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, you've got to know me. You've got to know me that way. So you can actually say to a doctor who knows so much more than I do, thank you for that. The Lord has the last word. Is that arrogant? No. Unless I'm being arrogant about it, honestly. Like, okay, buddy, I know you've gone to school a lot more than me, but I'm going to tell you what's up. No, no, no. But when the Holy Spirit says, don't receive that, don't take that, those words are not my final words. When the Lord says, I will give the final word, and we really believe that, then the courage and the boldness starts to rise up. And that might be the only thing that you could say, because, you know, sometimes death sentences are pronounced. Death to a vision, death to a body, death to a dream. And you've got to say, God, what do you say about it? And listen to that voice, not the circumstances. Honestly. And those kinds of things have helped me as I carry my little green book around. You know, it's funny because in prayer I've said, God, I don't get this. I don't have the training for this. I just know you keep taking this little body and putting it over here, trying not to be obvious. I mean, I'm, you know, there with my green book going, no. You know, it's just kind of, so I, you know, sometimes I bring it out and say, this helps me because I can't remember that big word. I'm sorry. I just don't. What does it, how do you spell that? You know, and that's what I'm learning and just kind of putting things together more and more and more. And I still could be wrong. So I go to the Lord and say, Lord, do I need to back up? Do I need to do that? He goes, yeah, you do. So I was in ICU, you know, and I'm kind of there every morning for rounds, and they all know me. It's like, hi, I'm here. I'm hanging out, waiting and watching what's going on, you know, and things happened a certain way. And I listened to the Holy Spirit on the inside. You got to go with that initially, unless you've listened to other things that don't match up with the kingdom word of God. And they don't match up with the word of God, so therefore they're not God. But it sounds like it's the right thing to do. And then you do what you feel. If Moses did what he felt, the Israelites would have been wiped out at first. If God even worked on that and didn't work on truth and didn't listen to Moses, there might not have been a parting of the Red Sea. God planned it, but he also uses people to say, give them a chance, God. So anyway, this one nurse, she's really sweet. She just really blessed me, in, you know, in ICU. And she wasn't very attentive to my mom one particular day. And it was, you know, kind of nerving or aggravating, to be honest with you. It seemed to me. And it's like, wait a minute. In ICU, intensive care unit, was MICU, medical intensive care unit, you're supposed to have one nurse to one or two people. So that day, Mom was really shared with another person. And I, you know, usually am pretty nice to everybody, I guess. But that day, you know, she said, I said, do you have a minute to answer your question or to answer my question? And she said, there's a really sick man next door. And she wasn't all that nice about it. There was a really sick man. There are other people who are sick here. And I said, my mom is sick too. And I said that. It's probably not a big deal. You think, oh, yeah, it's true. But I said that rather than be quiet. And I reacted to her. And that was my tone. It wasn't like this or anything like that. But I said that. And as soon as I said it, it was like, oh, she was out of the room. And I thought, oh, man, I didn't show Jesus to her. It's not a big deal. I was just telling her, my mom is sick too. I didn't need to do that, though. I mean, that is how much the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts if we let him. Because at that moment, now catch this one, at that moment, that was sin. It's like, oh, nuts. You know, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just, you know, I'm going in there, I'm spending time with you, I'm ready to go, I'm willing to be wrong. And he goes, good, because I'm going to show you. So that one comment bothered me. I thought, come on, God, I mean, there's like a 99% track record here. And he says, maybe. Okay, forget the book. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Psalm 139, I just read it. Show me any hurtful or wicked way in me, and that was it. It's like, ah. So the next day, I went in and I said, hey, you are amazing, which I tell them all the time. You are amazing, you are amazing, you are amazing. I'm always lifting and building up. I am, because I believe it, and it comes out of my mouth. And I have good relationships as a result. But I'll tell you what. I looked at her and I said, I want to thank you so much for taking care of my mom. And I was a little strong with you yesterday. She's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I said, you know, when you said there are other people who are sick, you're right. And I wanted that attention for my mom right now. And I responded to you and I didn't need to do that. And you're amazing. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm very sorry. She was just like, stunned. It's no big deal. When you're wrong, you're wrong. So you just say it. I'm really sorry about that. You know, it was me. She goes, oh, that was no big deal. And I say, it was to me. Because I really appreciate you. I really do. But the Holy Spirit showed me that. She didn't say anything. And she was just smiling away. I thought, oh man, you showed me Jesus and I didn't. And so, you know, as I'm walking through this two-month adventure, it's been, like I said, two-year adventure, but really culminating in extreme intensity in the last 2 months. And it's actually been not really 2 months, but it's been about over 25 years where my mom's been very sick in a lot of ways. It's been very hard on my father and very hard on the family, actually. So there's been a lot of stuff going on for a long time. It's a long wait for full healing and deliverance of different things. It's not just like, oh, what's 2 months? It's really been a long time. 25 years where things just blew up, and then it's been, you know, challenging. Maybe 30, 25 to 30 years. And that's the truth. So when you cry out to God, you say, God, I've been waiting a long time. And now, look, are things going to end like this? Seriously? And he goes, watch what I do. Let me keep going here. So the degree or extent to which something is intense, I love it, number 4. 5, a high degree of emotional excitement, depth of feeling. The poem lacked intensity and left me unmoved. The Lord says, I'm going to move you. I want you to be so moved by me that the intensity that you have for me is going to spill out in every part of your life. Not just taking your kids to the park and swinging them on swings and going, this is the greatest day. Okay, that could be a non-believer. Doing the same thing, going, this is the greatest day. I've got my family, I've got the sun, I've got the moon, I've got, you know, I'm at the park, this is great. But the Lord says, the intensity needs to be for me. And it's so strong, it's so burning that you can't let go of it. You can't. It's like nothing is going to take this intensity away from me. God, I've got to guard what you've released to me. I've got to guard my heart. I don't have to stand there going, I need to do it right. I need to do it right. No, it's an inner guard of love. It's like, I just love you so much. I don't want that ever to wane. I want it to grow. I want it to increase. I want to sing that song, the last song on Sunday morning, every day of my life. I want to sing that morning, noon, and night. I want to sing it in my car. I want to have my own song for you because I'm so in love with you, that the anointing that you have in my life is felt in every way, in every form, in every situation, in every relationship. But it might not sound like this. You might push the whole world away. Okay? If I did that, if I sounded like that going into ICU or the medical world, they'd probably want to lock me up. Seriously, I'm serious. But you have a problem because I can't relate to you. So my goal is, I want to relate to people. I want to relate to someone who thinks differently. I want to relate to someone who believes differently. I really do. But I don't want to accept that belief for my belief. And then my actions will flow out of the belief God gives me because he has freed me from fear. Do you see? The strength or sharpness of a color due especially to its degree of freedom from admixture with its complementary color. Ooh, you know, kind of like this thing up here. Open up the gates that the King of Glory may come in. It's a bit intense, isn't it? Physics, from that perspective, the magnitude, active energy, or a force per unit of area, volume, and time. Very intense. Let's put the other definition up. Then I want to show a little clip to you after that. The quality or condition of being intense, that's just not helpful for me. I don't know about you. Great energy, strength, concentration, vehemence. Didn't we just do this one? Yeah, we the other one? Oh. La-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do, just taking the definitions that we have so far. And if it's not coming up in the next second, let's go ahead and play the little video clip that we have. Just put the lights off and let's play that. Okay? This is someone, I just found this video clip. I think you'll like this, and it's a little bit of intensity here. And this is Russell Wilson. Who knows who that is? Like 4, 5, 10 people. Okay, he is, I guess, my husband told me he's a Christian, so I didn't know about him until now in this season, but he's with the Seattle Seahawks, and he's playing against the New England Patriots today, right? And so he is on this team, and there is a video clip of his intensity, not in the game. I'm not playing that. I think you can watch tonight and see that. But the intensity of what happened in his life after another game. Okay, let's go ahead and play that. And listen carefully to how he sees how intensity works for him. Christian athlete. And we'll back it up if it's not on. We are not bound by technology, but very grateful for it. So as it's coming, let me just tell you that last night when I was going to visit my mom the one of the answers to prayer that God gave us last night and yesterday came over to our house or my dad's house and met my dad, and just an incredible story, and I'll tell you the whole story another time. Just because I want to get into the word here. But it was definitely an answer to prayer, and it was definitely a gift from God. She is a gift from God. And this lady who's going to be helping us with a team of others once we get mom home was actually going to visit her hospital on the same floor as my mom. My mom has been in, like I said, LTAC, long-term acute care, and her husband was moved to the same floor or the same wing as my mom day before yesterday, which is amazing. For the last 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks, my mom has been in one section. But all of a sudden, they decided to move her because they wanted her room, which is fine. I knew it was the Lord. I said, wow, Lord, where is this adventure going to take us now? So we go down this corridor, and this is where this next part of the adventure started to unfold for this blessing to come from heaven. So as we met this lady yesterday, whose husband is two doors up, which we didn't know that either. We didn't know anything at all. This came through another nurse or another worker there who told us about, you know, something. It was that God put things together, and I'll tell you the details later. So it was amazing. Had mom not been in that particular wing, this may not have happened the way God intended, so he made sure that she moved. So when that happened, we were so excited, crying, praising God. And then all of a sudden, I go last night about 8:30 or so, and I'm walking towards the elevator. I always have encounters at the elevator or on the elevator. It's true. And then this lady, the same lady, is walking directly. And I looked at her, I called her name. She comes from the other part of the hospital, and she's going up to see her husband. It was just amazing. So we're hugging and going, this is so good. Oh my gosh, look what God's doing. And I get up there, and I went to see my mom, and I went to see him. And I walk in, and there's a man without legs. And he had had one leg removed from juvenile diabetes, I'm not sure how many years ago, and the pain was so bad in the other leg, his second leg was removed. And I walked in, and I was full of the anointing. I was full of the Spirit, and I know that. Feel the Holy Spirit moving and gyrating. I could feel his fire. And it was amazing, actually. And I walked in, and I shared with him what God gave me. He's crying. His wife's crying. He's hugging. I'm hugging. And in the midst of that particular adversity, and the man's a believer, a strong believer, he wants to see what God will do for him now. And he had great faith and has great faith. And so I spoke out a lot of things over him that were by the Spirit, I believe, and he received them by the Spirit. And I thought, wow, this is intense, God. This is a big deal. This is really intense. How does that fit into my mom and the ambulance on Monday or Tuesday and the people I've met all week, this team approach, the last 2 months, actually? How does all this fit together? And he says, I am going to show you more about working together, more about my relational desires for you, because I'm a relational papa. I'm going to show you that, because we cannot be dependent on anybody but him to really walk in the success that God has for us. And then it spills into everybody else. How are we doing? Still not able to show it? We're almost there. Hey, this is good. You'll like this. About a minute and a half. And you'll see this guy tonight, so look for him and cheer him on. Just saying. He's a Christian. It's not a problem. We'll just go to Psalm 106. That's going to be up there in just a minute, but I'll just go ahead and read it to you, because I think you'll be blessed. I read the beginning of it. And Psalm 106, I had read beginning from, I believe, verse 6, all the way through verse 10, right when we were switching from worship here. And, verse 12. The waters, 11 said, the waters covered the adversaries, not one of them was left. They then believed his words, and they sang his praise. And we all cheered. It was, yes, God! And we sang that anthem. And then, this is where I want to read to you. Verse 13, they quickly forgot his works. I didn't want to say that at the beginning. It was like, that would be Debbie Downer. Like, oh, gee, come on. We are just in praising God right now. Oh, my gosh. I'm a child. I've been rescued from fear. Fear doesn't hold me. Yeah, I'm not a slave to fear any longer. But I intended to come back to this and fit this in at the right time, because God is saying, excuse me, get my next words right after that. Because even after this huge deliverance, this huge thing, this huge mission trip that I took you on to China, Mozambique, you name it, okay? Just saying. And then, boom, how quickly they forgot. In other words, when the Lord does something really wonderfully magnanimous for us and absolutely tremendous, and we say, I can't believe how good you are. Think about what that would be. Even in the midst of trial and adversity, and the Lord says, don't be one who will quickly forget. Remember and bring me into remembrance of that. Not just you said you would do this for me, but bring me in remembrance of the word that I gave to you, that I spoke over you, the word I performed in you, what happened to you and those around you, and you will continue to rise. You will continue. The fear that I rescued you from at the cross will not sneak back in or overtake you or stay hidden. It will be released. It will be worked out of your life, or it will be resisted if it starts coming back. You know, that's where God is saying, I want you to see what I see. I want you to know what I know. And when you see and when you know, you'll sing songs like we sang today in worship all the time, even with tears coming down. Okay, so let me read to you the rest of this, which is amazing. They quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Let me read it again. They quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But craved intensely, intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So he gave them their request and sent a disease among them. Oh my goodness. And it went on and on. It's like, oh, ick, ah. Oh, come on, we live under a new and better covenant. God doesn't do that. This is the nature of God. He's not mad at us. He's saying, listen, kids, I'm telling you, open yourself up to the things that I'm saying and doing, and you'll be okay, because I want you to be okay. You know, when it says he gave a disease, I mean, God can do anything. He could smote us now if he wanted. But we live under this new and better covenant. Thank you, Jesus. And he understands that we sin, but he hates it. He understands that we're going to make mistakes, but he hates it. He understands that we're going to be wrapped up in our feelings and emotions, but he hates it above our spirit. He hates it because he knows it hurts us and it hurts his heart for us. Ugh. But you see, when we're hot, when we're on fire, that bothers us. It's like, I don't want anything to interrupt that closeness. Was I still on fire after I said that word to the lovely nurse, or I reacted with one statement, and very slowly, kindly, one word, it wasn't even that bad, I thought. Was I still on fire for Jesus? Yes, but I recognized, oh my gosh, I don't have a right to say that. Why did I say that? What was the reason? Because I thought something that God didn't think. Bottom line, I entertained a thought and I acted on it. Period. One thought. Oh my goodness, she's so holy. She just does everything perfect. It's just P&P. I mean, I can't be like that. If she knew how I was at the breakfast table, she wouldn't say that. It's not about me. It's about the nature of God and how much he loves us and how much the Holy Spirit inside of us really wants to have that place where we will hear when we sin against God. So anything that is not involving a thought from God, which involves then a reaction from the flesh, if it's not a thought from God, is not pleasing to him. Call it what it is. And when it's sin, God just says, listen, I want you to keep that fire going. What if I refused that at the time, which I very likely could have, you know? Could that have influenced me? Could I have had a chain of debacles after that, a chain of situations? Absolutely. Didn't want to do that. Wanted to maintain that fiery love for people. But I'll tell you what, that relationship with that nurse, it just went to the moon after that. And we were already good buddies, honestly. But when I said that, it's like, whoa. I didn't say, well, you know, I'm a pastor, and even though we're not supposed to make mistakes, I did, you know, which is not true, I'm just joking. I mean, I didn't say anything about me. I just honestly said, whoa. You know, I'm really sorry. I really appreciate you. Well, that relationship, where I went down to ICU on Friday or Saturday looking for her. Is she working today? This is my buddy. No, she wasn't there. She's still my buddy. But the Lord wants us to see some things. Are you able to put some verses up for me if we're not able to show this clip? We can't do anything. Okay, let's get our Bibles out. Novel thought. We can do this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, 28 through 30. This is so good. Love you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, 28 through 30. Everybody find it? Now, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. I'm going to back it up to 27, okay? I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Okay, now this is the new covenant, guys. This is not the old. And verse 28, apart from such external things, there is the daily presence on me of concern for all the churches. Apart from that, there's the daily pressure on me of concern. Pressure of concern for all the churches. Can you see the heart of God right there? He was feeling pressure in amidst to the daily regimen of all the hardships of no sleep and everything else that we just read. Sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, without food, cold, and exposure. But apart from that, there's also the daily pressure of being concerned for other people. So there was this deep, deep concern How are my kids doing? How are my spiritual kids lining up? What's going on? Are they really finding that fire in Jesus? Are they really realizing the team approach that's going to win the Super Bowl for them? Are they really realizing how that's needed? Do they understand what they need to do? That they're not an island. It's not just about them. And they need to think about what the Spirit of God is saying for them. I'm really concerned. So he has that additional pressure. Verse 29 says, "Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" There's the word, my intense concern, okay? Sometimes people use the word concern, and concern, don't let that be a buzzword for you, because that concern word might be a word that's labeled with fear and accusation and all kinds of idiosyncrasies that aren't good, and idiosities, that's my new word, that don't make sense. In other words, concern can be another word for fear. Or intense concern can be absolutely a burden of love that comes from faith. Did you understand that? Intense concern. Just the word concern doesn't mean, aha, there's an intense person. Yes, I heard that word on Sunday. So that must be the Holy Spirit. No, a concern can actually be something that is led, that is moved, that is motivated by fear and ends up in suspicion and then ends up in negativity and division because we're concerned. Here's my example for me. I could have said to the Lord, "Look, I was just concerned about my mom, so I reacted very ever so nicely." And he said, "No, honey, that involved fear that your mom wasn't going to be taken care of. There wasn't trust there for me." Oh, come on, I can't get away with one sentence. I can, because he took my sin at the cross, but I'm so in love with him, I don't want to. I don't want to, because he told me, and he said, "Sweetie, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to go to that nurse and say, I'm sorry, and pull out the gold in that person where she has an opportunity maybe to do the same for somebody else? I don't know, but I know that our relationship increased." How many of us will do that? Hopefully all of us, right? We want to hear that still small voice. So I couldn't hide behind the word concern. Give me a break. It was my issue. It was loaded with fear, and it was one sentence, and the Holy Spirit told me. Even if I'm right the other 99% of the time. Do you see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is so real. He says, "I don't want you to have any fear in you. Even for a second. Oh, I have to be perfect. No, I want to make you fearless." You see, that's the heart of the Father. So this intense concern that Paul had came from this amazing burden of love that would bring peace, that would bring joy, that would pull out the best in people. Whoa. I'm learning a lot. I don't know about you. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Does that concern you? What? Anyone being led into sin or recognizing that something's not right, this is negative, or this is, you know, think of all the ick words that we don't like, you know, that Jesus goes, "I died for that." You understand? But he says, it bothers me that anyone would be led into that place. And I didn't want to spew my mouth by one sentence that didn't seem like a big deal and spew that over that person. Not only because I wanted to be right with the Holy Spirit and feel that closest. I mean, he was so beautiful inside. He didn't say, "Man, you screwed up." He said, "Oh, sweetie." It's like, wah! He says, "That's not who you are. That's not your way. That's not how you roll. It really isn't. So you don't want to do that to someone who will probably not even care compared to what they usually get. You know, it's no big deal. What are you going to do about it?" It's like, oh man, are you going to think more about that person than yourself? Because that's where teamwork comes, which is the opposite of divisiveness and division. Okay? And Paul was all about teamwork. Let's watch this. It's working now. Yay. And again, Russell Wilson purports to be a Christian for the Seattle Seahawks. This is the team approach to get this to happen. It's going to happen somehow. That's really good. Yay.
Every time. These guys on this team are unbelievable, man. The fight, the relentless fight over and over again. The people used to doubt, man. I'm just excited to be on this team. I'm excited to play with the guys. I mean, 4 minutes up in the game, 3 minutes, four interceptions, and just keep playing. And the guys just keep believing in me, man. You gotta give credit to the Packers. They had an unbelievable season. And it's just honored, man. Just honored, just blessed to be on this team.
Pete Carroll told me at the half, this offense just needs to stay patient. They need to stay with it. Easier said than done. What was key for you guys there?
Just making the plays at the end. Keep believing. There was no doubt. I just had no doubt. We had no doubt as a team. And, man, just making the plays. Funny thing is, I was on the sideline right before we went out for that last drive. And I told Bell, be ready for the check to the play that we just ran for the touchdown. I said, I'm going to throw a touchdown and win the game. And sure enough, man, just, I believe God's preparing me for these situations. God's preparing our team, too, as well. I'm just, like I said, I'm honored to be on this team. I'm going to the Super Bowl again.
Yes, you are. Congratulations. Thank you.
All right, he had no doubt. He and the team had no doubt that they were going to win. And there was actually another clip that I had that I couldn't even hear it. Maybe he did say it, but he just said, I want to give glory to God, or I want to thank God for it. Did you hear it in this one? Yeah? He did say it. Okay, it would seem muffled to me up here. But, you know, I was looking at this, and I thought, man, the guy's crying. I mean, look at this. And he's just giving glory to God, thanking God, but also talking about the team approach and what it was like, and there was unity in the team. So it's not, okay, he's giving a speech on unity. That's the Christian thing to do. No, he was actually experiencing success because of that true unity. And God was showing him and showing the world, really, how someone who was sensitive and understanding what God was apparently doing through him, through that team, that was going to make a difference and was going to bring him into a place of being able to play in the Super Bowl. It's like, wow. I was really touched by it, and I thought, that just kind of goes along with our definition, and we need to be thinking about that, you know, for each one of us. When Paul talks about the intense concern that he has for the people who are weak, he said, anyone who's led into sin without my intense concern, that's a problem. He's questioning that. Verse 29. Verse 30 says, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. Verse 31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever knows that I am not lying. It's like, whoa, what? Okay, so he's saying, I'm not lying. He says, I'm going to tell you, this is what I see, this is what I feel, this is what's going on. It's not just my opinion. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. I am going to attest to what the Holy Spirit is saying on the inside. So you get two people who say, well, the Holy Spirit said this. Well, the Holy Spirit said that. Okay. Well, you know what? God's going to bring that to the Super Bowl, and God's going to bring that out inside where you're going to know that you know that you know, and the fruit will be there of intense connectedness, because that's how teams work. And God's saying, look, you know, your family's a team, your church is a team, we're doing the best we can, and whether, you know, the LTAC group is a team. The people in ICU were a team, and I watched it, and I thought, oh my gosh, but if somebody is not working in the team and the way the team needs to work, you know, it should make other team members particularly open their eyes and go, huh? And that actually happened once for my mom. There was one thing that seemed to kind of go, maybe from misunderstanding as I was stepping back and watching, misunderstanding or an opinion or someone walking in fear, which I think is what the situation was. And I watched another team member literally rise up and go, that is not good. I'm not against that person on my team, but that is not good. They actually said it to me. That's not good, because that puts others who are weaker at risk. And it was just like, bam! Yeah, that's what Paul's saying. Others who are weaker will be at risk by something we say, something we do, something we don't say, something we don't do. Others could be put at risk. That's not working for Paul. And that's not working for the Father. And it shouldn't work for us. You know? And so God tells us inside. And then We start growing, growing, growing. We get stronger, stronger, stronger. We might have compassion on those who maybe have not been able to see that as really the truth of the Holy Spirit, but we don't change our stance. We don't change our position. We stay strong, and we get stronger, and we watch the team increase. It's very important. These spiritual truths are affecting our everyday lives, and we all know where we're going after this. We all know what's going to happen after this, and we think we do, right? I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go to lunch, and I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to go to a birthday party, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do all of that. But the Lord is saying, let me change you in the process. So when you want to sing that song, which we're going to sing at the end of this, Darlene is still here. We're going to sing that again, that anthem at the end. Darlene and Carl and the team. I just really am exhorting you right now to take what you've been listening to, what you've been hearing, what you've been receiving. Listen to the, when you have time, listen to the podcast. Watch the podcasts that are out there. See what God is saying and see what God is doing. It's building. There's a reason for it. And it's for us. Well, does that mean I can't listen to Bethel or this? Of course it doesn't mean that. We're singing a Bethel song. Okay? So we're all about, you know, certainly getting information or impartation or whatever. But when the Lord is speaking specifically, when Paul goes into a church and he starts speaking to the church, the Spirit of God is giving him what he needs for that church. You understand? So this morning I woke up with this on my mind and I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do with this, God? And it was about Ben Atkinson. You know, I love this guy. He's an amazing person who has started so many prayer movements. You can't even imagine it, in Virginia, and he's been with IHOP in Kansas City, and he's now in Ohio, and he's just a sold-out, crazy person who is totally in love with Jesus, and I love that about him, and he's very sensitive to the Spirit, so he can walk in and not be fooled. He's not going to be moved by what he sees or what he doesn't see. He's not going to be moved by the number of people, big or small. He's going to be moved what the Spirit of God is telling him so that he can spill out what the Spirit of God wants to say. So when he gave this message, and you guys can go listen to it, I really, you know, encourage you to do it, which is June 29th, this summer. June 29th. Go back in the podcast and find it. If you can't find it, call Carly or Bethany. But June 29th. And he walked in and he said a couple of things, and there were two things that really hit me that I wanted to mention to you today. He said, the Father's heart is here. How does he know that? He's not here. He didn't even know us very well. He does now, but he knew us to some extent. You know, he had some connection up at GG9 and before that, but not to the extent from that point on of the intensity of our relationship that has built since that time. And it's really amazing. And that was kind of cool of God's timing. So he said, the Father's heart is here. And he says, there's two things that I see in this house. And he said, there's the joy of the Lord and there's the fear of the Lord. And he says, you cannot have one without the other. And it just keeps circling in my mind. Joy, fear. Joy, fear. Joy, fear. You can't have one without the other. If we don't walk in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, we are not going to exhibit his joy, his true unspeakable joy. If we think we're walking in his joy and we're living and doing anything that we want and saying and doing and thinking it's God and it's not, it's not working. You can't have one without the other. They are mutually excluding one another because they walk together, they flow together. So I better know what fear of the Lord is and joy of the Lord is and invite and receive and allow the Lord to change me so that those two are operating, manifesting in my life. The Spirit of God in the Spirit of joy and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's like, whew. Okay, I guess that's something, that's a mighty lofty goal. Not really. It's just more of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Okay? So he said those two things, which were really encouraging to my heart again. And he said, there are hungry people here. These people are just as intense. He was talking about Pastor Bill and the Blue Eyes when he met him. And he had this connection, this spiritual connection with him. And he just was touched by the Spirit of God. I mean, I think he's a nice guy. I'm married to him. I love him with all my heart. But it wasn't about that. It wasn't about him being funny or being this or being that. There was this spiritual thing that took place, and he made that statement. And it's like, ah, oh, there are people here just as intense. And it was like, tense. There's the word. Oh my gosh. So he kept giving me this word, the Holy Spirit, for the message today about the intensity of the fire of God, the intensity of the joy of God, and the intensity of the concern for the people of God that Paul would have, and the intensity for the Lord himself to actually take us over and enable us to stand up, sing that we are a child of God and that fear has been broken, but then live like it outside of here. And that's going to come from the fire of the Holy Ghost and the joy of the Spirit of God. It's going to come and it's going to grow. And God says, then, when that starts happening in your life, you're going to see more. Wonders, signs, miracles. You're going to see the things that you maybe have seen in the past, or that you want to see, or that you've heard in Scripture, you've read in Scripture. You're going to see those things. Your life is going to look like that. There's going to be a reflection of things in your life that will show the joy and show the fear. And people who are around you may not have your same personality. That's okay. But that intensity will be there, and they will know it. I mean, if you stood up like this and you're preaching and you're at your house during the dinner hour like this, you'd have people backing up, right? Okay? So I'm not saying that, but this is a preaching time. And this is a time when the Lord is saying, let my anointed rise. It is time to rise. It is time to let the anointing that I have given you rise up, not just when you're worshiping, not just when you're home in the prayer closet if you are, not just when you're watching the Super Bowl. Let your intensity rise up as you say, Lord, show me any area where that intensity that I feel is really not your intensity, that is birthed from fear and my own stuff, and reactions come out of that, negativity comes out of that, and it might be, wah, intense, or it might be very quietly intense. Don't receive fear. And you will receive fear more easily if you carry it. You see, when you can recognize that in yourself, in the area, in the environment, you will recognize fear because it has a face and it has a way. And it might be very subtle, or it might be in your face. But either way, it's not from God. And peace comes as fear is eradicated. Peace in situations, in relationships, and in your own mind. And some of us are very, very mind-oriented people saying it's really the Spirit of God because I'm so passionate. And it might be very much, I just feel the Spirit of God because I love Jesus, and it really might be mixed with a bunch of fear going blah, 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 blah. And God says, I want that out of you because you really love me. I know it. But the fear base needs to be addressed. It's like, oh. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has shown me in the Spirit something that has fear attached to it elsewhere. You know, and if it's there in me, I want to see it too, okay? If it comes, or it's there, or it's been there, or any of that kind of stuff. But many times, there will be a resistance. Like, I don't have fear. I don't feel fear. It's like, what? Yeah, fear? No, not really. I might have fear, but it's no big deal. I don't feel afraid. I don't feel. It's not about that. This is a spiritual thing, and it can be discerned. So, you know, think about the word intensity. Think about some of these scriptures. Let's think about what God is saying. And even though we're happy and we're good mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and all these things, or single people, and we're happy and we're doing things right, there still can be these kicks that are coming from the spiritual realm that hit us and we don't recognize it. And then we just take another step in a different direction when we think maybe we're running forward like this and we're not. It's like, oh. So I have to look at myself. You know, it's more about looking at him, and then when yourself starts to rise like it did for me in ICU with that one comment, it's like, bam, okay, oh, nuts. That's not who I am. It was at that moment, but it's really not who I am. But I still have to do something about that because that's who I was at that moment. And I am a woman who is desiring to be fearless before the Lord because that's where his power is really released. Even more. Is this hitting home for us? This is good. It's so energizing for me anyway. It's like, God, you love me so much. You love me that much. You mold me and shape me like that snowman that Bethany was showing us, you know, in the video. you mold me and go, wow, I just love that about you. Look at you. Look at those gifts. Look at those abilities. You're just something. But, you know, I gave those to you. So don't pride yourself in that, honey. You know, it's really your humility and your willingness to just drop down before me and say, here I am. Show me. That's when the fire will rise. That's when the fire will take over. That's when the fire will overwhelm and become so intense that the influence that you're supposed to have in this life will increase. And Paul had it. He got it. Even with the sleepless nights and all that kind of stuff, you know. You see what I'm saying? Think about the words that you're reading in the Bible. Think about what you're reading. Think about it. Think about what we just talked about. Look for the word intense or intensity. It's just really fun. All through the scripture, it's like, okay. If you've lost some of that, okay. Let's cry out to the Lord. Say, all right, whatever, show me. But sometimes people are used to show us and we disregard it. Not a good plan. Because this guy who's going to be playing today, I'm sure you would say he's probably pretty intense. Just saying. He's intense, right? And he's out there. He made it to the Super Bowl. And something's going to happen today. Whether his team wins or loses, I don't know. But there's this determination. It's like, tchah! As one. Yeah? And maybe he carries fear. I don't know. It's not the point. Is he a perfect person? Probably not. Not the point. I don't know any. Do you? But the point is, he recognized in tears the privilege of being where he was and the privilege of what God wants to do with him. That's pretty cool. Let's have the worship team come on up here. We're going to sing that last song with just a new little intensity, I think. It was already incredibly intense, but while they're coming up, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter 3, 9 through 11. That's our last verse for now. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing this and declare to the Lord his word over you for your life, for who you are in Jesus. Just declare it over you and what where you want to go with this, because I believe he wants to increase our anointing right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So let's have a look at 2 Peter 3, 9 through 11. Well, maybe 8. Let's try. I always back it up. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. We have it up there? The Lord is not slow about his promise, as you count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. And its works. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? One more verse. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. And one more, because I'm feeling led. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless, and blameless. And regard the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. So, Father, as we sing this today, again, let this be a declaration of your love for us and also our receiving, God, of what you have said, and that we are going to entertain and we're going to embrace, and that we're going to change right now, whatever that means. Because we can't change ourselves, but we can agree with you, and we're agreeing right now, and we agree with these words. We agree with what the words and the scriptures have said. We agree, Lord, with this new level, new place of intensity. We thank you, Lord God, that the burning love that you have for us is going to rage even more as we close here and as we leave this place. Let it be in Jesus' name. Let's sing this to the Lord as our final anthem in Jesus' name. Father, the anointing is upon us right now. It's here. We receive it. We receive you. We receive you, God. We mean it. I want you to leave with this. Are these two related? Only God knows. But when I humbled myself and went to that nurse, as I told you, after that, the Lord took me to the MICU waiting room, and I met this family, and there's several different connections that he made with this family to pray for them. And I'll tell you the story another time. It's so amazing. And I ended up being able to go into this man's room of this family, okay, that I was praying for after I prayed for him. Prayed for his healing. He was dying on a respirator, on a ventilator, and leading him to Jesus. He's born again. He's off the ventilator. He's being healed. And the man is the same man that this nurse was taking care of. And I didn't even know it. You see, God has the last word. And he says, pay attention to the littlest things and get yourself out of the way. Watch what I do. God's bigger than we think. The word says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Not just to exist, but to do the works, the greater works. And this man is saved, and he's being healed. Thank you, Jesus. Humble ourselves, because we're children of God. Amen. God bless you. You have a great day.